We're ready. We are on. We will call the Board of Supervisors meeting tonight here to order at 6:33 on the clock. We will stand up and recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and if everybody could stay standing just a little bit after that for a moment of silence for the people in Orlando.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if we could now, we'd just have just a few moments of silence. Thank you. The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, and Tiemann. Denny Byers will be gone all night tonight. I have we're going to have Lisa give a presentation from what the planning and zoning did, but I have, if you would go ahead, I have a few other,
just
I guess.
Oh,
there has been a sign-up sheet. There's a sign-up sheet over here if anybody would, we'd like to have everybody sign in whether you want to talk or not. We realize we have a big crowd tonight, and there will be some people out in the hallway. If after you've spoken you want to leave or however, and let some of those have an opportunity to come in, that would be great too. But if you want to stay, that's fine too. I guess we're blessed that we have a good crowd. This is the room we'd like to have this in so that we can be recorded on the mic. County Board is recorded on the mic. That will be on the website as soon as it works to get that all up or whatever. But we prefer to have the meeting in this room. However, the last one we had a good crowd, and this one we're having a good crowd again. If this continues or we keep having things like this, we may have other possibilities we'll have to explore, I guess, or whatever. So, go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. Tonight you're hearing a special use permit hearing for a proposed six-building poultry facility being proposed. The applicant's name is Roy Mulder. If you look at your maps, which Nancy has prepared a big packet for you, that's all the documentation that she's received and that also that we have presented at our first hearing. So it's located in Section 8 of the Nemaha Township in the west half, the southwest quarter. So if you're in demographics, it's located, the proposed site, it would be located on 38th Road between Apple and Ash. It's currently in an A2 area, on our land use map. This site, particular site, can house up to how the building has been proposed to us, or the buildings, consists of, again, six buildings, which would house up to 25,000 broilers per building, which converts into 250 AUs per building, so a total of 1,500 AUs. Roy presented to us that he would own the production barns and then also do the day-to-day management, raising the broilers for Smart Chicken. Our requirements within our regulations require that he has a half a mile setback from the nearest corner of the nearest manure production site, whether that be a compost pile or whether that actually be the corner of a building measured to the nearest corner of the nearest residence. So in this case, we did, if you're looking at the map, we did have our county assessor, or not assessor, but our county surveyor go out and make those measurements. So as you hear testimony tonight, that'll give you an opportunity to view about where they're located. I believe the property consists of 230 acres owned by Roy and his family. And as you look at our zoning regulations, this is an allowable use. Since this, however, is a new livestock facility, and any time that we have new livestock facilities coming forth, it has to go through that special use permit process before they can even proceed. So Roy first came to us, just a little bit of history. Roy first came to the Zoning Commission and proposed a 12-building site in March. And he went through the special use permit process. with our board. And after our hearing, we tabled that permit because there were some site issues, some road issues, also our concerns involving Ash Road and having to bring it up and whose responsibility was that. But the biggest problem that the commission saw at that time were the setbacks didn't comply with the amount of AUs. So Roy researched his options, and then he withdrew that first application. He has now returned with a new site, but it's in the same section, keep in mind, located on the 38th Road. Nancy, I believe you sent out 65 letters or?
63
letters within a one-mile radius within the operation. Those letters have gone to those landowners three times, actually. Two times for this particular hearing, and then one time for the hearing that we, the first one on the first proposed site. So based on the proposed 1,500 AUs, our setbacks, again, are a half a mile. So that's 2,650 feet. In the last 2 years, your board has approved two other applications for these same types of smart chicken facilities, one of which was in Southern Gage County that was never developed, and then most recently a facility 5 miles west of, I believe, the existing proposed site that I believe their production started within the last month, or maybe even this month they got their first set of birds in. In preparation for our hearing, I had board members that visited other poultry sites, specifically in the Tecumseh area and also in Gage County, to learn more about the management practices of smart chicken, and more importantly, the proper management of the dry, what's considered to be the dry litter, the manure, the actual odor itself. Again, we took measurements, and so you can refer to those within the setbacks. When writing our regulations first, you know, we had a lot of conversation about the proper setbacks and the types of setbacks that were needed for the type of manure that an animal produces. And obviously, based upon this type of manure, it is considered to be a dry manure, dry litter manure, in comparison to when you're looking at a wet matter with bovine and with swine. So we tried to come up within our setbacks with the fairest way that each one of them, when we developed the setback regulations, that everybody could coexist. And so we've been successful with finding, you know, a common ground, we feel. But then again, there's the sensitive issue up in the northern part of the county that we know we're highly highly populated up in that area. The most important thing that we looked at when we wrote the regulations was we really relied on the Nebraska DEQ's regulations, and I passed around a sheet, a couple sheets and a flyer to you. At the time when our regulations were being developed, Nebraska was actually instituting the Title 130, which has to do with how large confinement units actually house their waste manure, and also how they stockpile it, what the compliance is. They came out with your nitrogen and phosphorus ratings depending upon what type of livestock manure that you're working with. So there was a state agency already in place. There was a complaint process. There was inspectors that would go out and actually look at the discharge systems. And they also put into place those individuals, such in Roy's case, anyone wanting to start any kind of confinement operation today has to have a site inspected through the Title 130 and then come up with a manure management plan. In this particular case, based upon the size that Roy is proposing, he also, should it be approved, will require to do annual reports of how he actually, where he applied his manure, what the nitrogen phosphorus level was, what his crop ratio was to the nitrogen used. So it's not just cut and dry by going out and utilizing it. The Malders will have to complete a total manure management plan. So we discussed that within the commissions. That was most important to have that manure management plan. But then there's also the second force of Title 130 that requires it also. So,
Lisa?
Yes.
Quick question on that.
Yes.
When will he have to have that permit approved from
So I believe Roy has had the, which he'll allude to that with that, but he would have had the initial site looked at as far as how it affects the particular pond to the north, the runoff, if there is any. And so then they take into correspondence their scientific measurements of how wastewater flows and how it will flow off of a dry litter pile. So I'm not qualified to actually say, and that's why a state agency, though, you know, in this case, would work with him.
And maybe he can address that.
Our county certainly can require Roy to always file that litter management plan on a yearly basis. So whatever he would file with, you know, the state of Nebraska on an annual basis, that as a board, you could also ask for that same thing. So going to the manure management part is one thing. But in our testimony, as you can see by the size of the room, you know, the people's sincerest concerns are they oppose this particular operation because they are worried about, you know, the manure, the site, the rodents, the flies, all those things that can be hindered as a nuisance. I mean, which we know that, and that's your decision tonight that you're going to have to listen to. We also know that to most, you know, a nuisance is different to all of us, but they do have some legitimate concerns. As you read the letters, you can see that. But we took the time as a board to ask a lot of questions of not only the applicant, but also of everyone of what they feel would be fair. And I want to thank them, on behalf of the commission for being as honest with us as they possibly could. So, but our commission does recommend approval, for this particular, facility, because it has met all the setback requirements and based upon the necessities of what he has to file with the DEQ and also how it's being administered. Those are follow-up things through the application process. So questions? I will be glad as time goes on if you want to ask questions too tonight. That'll be fine with me. So, okay.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa is chairman, as most of you know, of our planning and zoning board here in Gage County. And also sitting over there at the table is, I forgot to announce too, is Nancy Niedfeld, our zoning administrator for Gage County. Couple quick things here before we start. First, we'll have Roy come up and explain his permit to the board. But some people I've talked with, and they know this, this board normally does not vote after the public hearing to approve or disapprove. We will have it on our agenda item on the 22nd, which is our next board meeting. I think we can set a time after tonight too at 9:30 or something. We'll see what we do. We'll set a time at that. We will have more discussion then at that meeting. We'll ask Roy to be back in case we have more questions about that permit. However, the public during that discussion, this is a public hearing for that part of it. You can come at 8:45 approximately. We have a public comment period at every one of our board meetings. If you would like to make additional comments, you can make it then. We'll ask Roy to be there when we have discussion on approval or disapproval of this permit to answer any questions that the board has. But because we have this public hearing, we normally don't have allowed time at that part of the meeting to have other people comment. However, like I said, you can come early on in the meeting. It's early. We start at 8:45, our meetings do. And early on in the meeting, you can come, and anybody can comment on anything they want to, not just even the chicken barns or whatever, if you'd like to after this meeting. We will try to, because of the amount of people, we will try to limit it to 5 minutes outside of Roy. Roy will have him explain his permit longer than that or however long he likes to. We will try to limit it to 5 minutes or as close as we can just so that we keep the meeting moving along. We'd also ask that when people are up there talking, you be respectful to them as they're commenting, and give everybody an opportunity to explain how they feel on the permit. Anything else from any of the other? Oh, we'll be close. We can watch it close enough here. We did have sheets go around. Don just numbered them by the luck of the draw, 1, 2, and 3, and 4. So whoever's on, well, we're going to have Roy here up here in a minute first, but If anybody out in the hall or anybody else, you didn't sign in, feel free to sign in or sign in. You don't have to necessarily talk. If your name comes up there and you don't want to talk at that time, that's fine. We will at the end, when everybody that has said they wanted to talk on the list, when we get through all of those, we will ask at that time if anybody else would like to talk. So you will have an opportunity, if you didn't sign in that way, that you sure can talk later. Anything else from the board? Otherwise, Roy, if you'd like to come up and present your permit.
Good evening.
Name and address, just for the record.
Roy Mulder, 6005 East Gage Road, Firth, Nebraska.
But we swear them in, don't we? Yeah. Need to raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I've got five copies of what I'm going to talk about, if anybody would like a copy.
Hand them to Don here, and we'll pass them around, and that way everybody will have them, and they can sure look at them later, too.
Some of this is something that Lisa's already talked about. I guess it's kind of the same itinerary as I presented to the Planning and Zoning Board. What I'm asking to do is build six poultry barns. As she said, it would be on 38th Road, south of Apple Road, approximately 3/4 mile between Apple and Ash. Each barn is 43 by 510 feet. They house approximately 25 chickens, are designed to house 25,000 chickens. They, because of the type of chicken that they are asking us to grow for them, they would typically bring about 22 to 22,500. So we're going to be under our maximum capacity. Their birds are housed with feed and water. The bird that they're asking us to grow is considered to be a free-range, organically fed bird. We have to have doors in the building so that to allow the bird to go outside. Very rarely do they go outside. Everything that they need is inside the barn. They have no reason to go outside. The growers that I've talked to said you'll very, very rarely find a bird outside. But in order to qualify, they got to be able to go outside. We expect to run about 5 flocks per year per barn. The birds, again, are housed with feed and water on the inside. They're cooled in the summertime with, it's called a cool cell. It works kind of like a radiator on a car, but you run cool water through it, pull air through it, cool air, and the air is exhausted out of the other end of the barn. For the bedding, the manure, that seems to be the big issue. It's kept dry all the time. It's inside a building. The building is never opened to the outside. No rainwater, no snow, nothing can go in. It's all kept dry. We put about a 12-inch layer of sawdust down per year. In between flocks, we will skim the top. The manure produced by that flock, we'll skim that off with a machine called a litter getter. It takes the top layer off and throws it into a bin behind it, fluffs the sawdust manure or the sawdust bedding, and then we're prepared for our next flock to go through. I talked to a grower yesterday, and he said they've got us putting a powder in now that is an aid to absorb ammonia after you take the litter out. So it kind of helps to knock down the ammonia smell. Between flocks, again, we put the powder down. The chicken manure is again kept dry. It does have an odor to it when it gets wet. When it goes outside, when it gets spread on a field, if you get a little rain, you get a little dew, whatever, it's going to get wet. That activates the ammonia smell. It's going to be strong for a day or two, and then it'll go away. We have visited with the DEQ about our site. They're okay with it. I've got documentation saying that they're okay with it. I'll give this to you, Myron, if you'd like. I got one copy.
Okay. Is that an extra one, or do you need this back?
Okay. again, because no water is running off of it, the water runoff that's going to be generated here is just no different than the water off the roof of your house, your machine shed, whatever. There, it's not going through any manure. It's going to be roof water or parking lot water or whatever you want to call it. It's going to be clean water. It's not going to be contaminated in any way by the manure until we take the manure outside in between flocks when we clean. We have three options when we do that, and this is all okay with the DEQ. We can either stockpile it outside of the houses to be spread at a later date. Our best option would be to take it straight to the field. If we clean the barns out in the wintertime, we're going to take it straight to the field because we don't want to handle it any more than we have to. We can also take it to a field edge. I farm about 1,500 acres. I think I got plenty of fields that I can take it to be spread on at a later date, or we can sell it. We'll ship it out, and then it's not our problem. So those are the three options that we have. We're not sure what we're going to do. Before the manure is applied to any farm, we'll take it to the University of Nebraska, have an analysis taken, so we know exactly what's in there from a nutrient standpoint. You can put too much on, you can put too little on. If you put too much on, you won't produce any crops. You put too little on, it's pointless to be out there. So what we're trying to do is replace commercial fertilizer with this chicken manure, but we need to know what's in it. So we'll take it out there. There's trucks that can spread this stuff as fine as like 2 ton per the acre, 1 ton an acre, whatever, to get our maximum efficiency out of our crop production. It's an all-natural product, reducing our dependence on commercial fertilizer. Each barn produces about 150 tons of manure per year. I think a lot of people compare us to the barns by Firth, the pullet farms, the egg-laying chickens. We're not apples to apples. There are 700,000 birds in those barns. We're looking at 150,000 in our barns. The ones by Adams are approximately the same size as Firth. I've heard from the other meetings that people drive by those barns, and yeah, it's a whole different deal. It's just a whole different ball game. We're doing two different things. We feel the benefits to our area. We're gonna hire all local people. We've selected Midwest Livestock to build the buildings. We've selected a local guy to do the dirt work. They select local people to do the concrete work, to do the electrical, to do everything. The feed is locally grown, because it's organic, it is actually not locally grown. It is delivered in from, I believe, Kansas right now, but they're working on that. There's jobs. We ourselves will employ 1 to 2 people, one full-time, one part-time. We feel that we're going to generate a fair amount of taxes out of it. We visited with the assessor. He assessed our barns at about $1.9 million, and that doesn't include the equipment inside. This is on the 6-barn complex. They'll generate a tax revenue of about $27,000, $28,000 a year, and that's going to go back into to the schools, to the county, to the roads. It just seems like a win-win. We're trying to diversify our operation. I've got a son. I've got a nephew. We're trying to get them in agriculture. And it's just another avenue that we can go down in agriculture to stay agriculturally based and bring these young guys back to the farm. And that's about all I got to say.
Questions?
Matt, Chairman, I have one question. Mr. Mulder, options for spreading, would there be locations you would spread that would be significantly less densely populated with regard to other folks? What would your plans be for spreading that?
Spread it on the farm ground that I own and on the farm ground that I rent. Again, I farm about 1,500 or 1,600 acres. I rent about 700 or 800, and I own about 700 or 800, and it's no different than applying dry fertilizer that I do now. It's just commercial fertilizer as opposed to the organic.
How would the barns cycle out when you're cleaning them out? Are they all staggered quite a bit, or?
That's kind of up to MBA. We build them two at a time. So they'll probably fill us with two, and then like a week or two later, fill us with another two, fill another two. So, yeah, they'll be staggered somewhat. But we've only got five and a half weeks to grow the birds, so things happen pretty fast. They come in as baby chicks. 5.5 weeks later, they're emptied out. We're done with that flock. Again, it depends on their – everything gets backed up because they're so – it's such a big picture. They've got hatch dates that they've got to keep in consideration, you know, and it's just a huge process. So I don't know. That's up to them.
They would schedule those or whatever.
Correct, yes.
I guess I had a question a little bit earlier, too, on the permit. Now, you, because of the size of your operation, that will require a DEQ permit or not?
This here from the DEQ says that my proposed construction animal feeding operation is not required to construct a livestock waste control facility. So they're not concerned about runoff. They're not concerned about anything. Yes, I will. I'm going to stay in constant contact with them to make sure that I'm right with them. But for now, they are saying we have no objection to this where it's at because I have no water running through the barns and running out and entering waters of the state, as they say. In a feedlot situation, as you know, Myron, it rains and the water runs through the lot, and then you got to be cautious about what's downstream. There is no contamination in this facility. It's all enclosed. It's like in your house, in your garage, in your machine shed, whatever. It's enclosed. There's nothing going to run off. When I spread the manure, it is spread so fine. I think an acre is somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 square feet, and we're putting out 3 ton of a sawdust-based manure over that large of an area. It's been done for years. It's a science. It's actually more efficiently done now than it was 10 years ago.
Yes, they have gotten, it's just like anything in farming, it's gotten better over the years.
Right.
I will agree with that. But, I mean, and Lisa, this DEQ thing that you passed around to us, and I'm not trying to belabor the point, but he's a large AFO.
But if you read his letter, if I may, just think where the controversy is there is they're asking him to have a facility such as he's not required to have a lagoon since it's a dry matter, dry litter. Okay. It's treated differently than having a wet matter. So that letter, the first sentence on that letter, states that he doesn't have to have a facility to hold that. You're going to stockpile that is how I think.
The waste.
The waste, the litter itself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're not requiring him to have a facility to put that in. Some management practices do, some don't, but they're not through this Title 130.
Okay. Eric.
But did I understand if you didn't spread it immediately, you were going to be keeping that in an indoor facility still?
We've talked about that, yes. We plan to build one, and if that works out. I'm not required to, but I thought I was. I got that clarified the other day when I visited with the DEQ. They said, "No, you're not required to put it inside if you don't want to. As long as it's not a huge pile and it's laying around forever and you know causing a nuisance. I don't want to cause a nuisance for anybody."
Lisa, do you want to comment some more?
Sure. So again, going back to the type of dry litter that it is considered to be. Obviously, for some producers, there will be those winter months that they can apply it, but there's those summer months that they can't apply it because their crops are in the ground. And so the facilities that we had visited, a lot of them will house that dry litter inside a particular building. But that is true. It's considered you don't lose your nutrient value, but in some cases you decrease your runoff risk, too. So...
Matt,
here I'm gonna test your memory here.
I'm not an official. So.
No. Well, on this, this is for you and Nancy. Either one of you can field this. Of all the poultry operations and any other livestock confinement operations, how many complaints have been filed related to any of those that are currently exist related to odor or groundwater contamination in Gage County?
So if I may, at the county level, the county has not ever received any formal complaints. The DEQ, Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality, has a process in plan. So it states it very much in a complaint process. There's a form. You can go online. You can file those complaints if you find that someone's not in compliance. You're just agitated with the smell, the flies, and so forth. And so they take an inspection once they receive a complaint through that formal complaint process. Specifically, if it's signed, they usually act within that complaint process within 48 hours. Those that aren't signed, they give it a little bit lower time. But the DEQ does have a complaint process in hand, and in the book that I showed Myron, that form is in there, or they can go online.
Yeah, that is explained in the Title 130, Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality. You can go online. I did the other day. I'm a little slow at it, so it took me a little longer. But once you get in there, it's this thick. It's all online. Anybody can go and read that and see what it is. And they do specify in there that a signed complaint will be acted upon or investigated within 48 hours.
When we wrote the regulations, we did not want to override what state law already had in place. And so since there was a policy and a set of guidelines within Title 130, we felt that it was adequate, and that's why we added it, making sure that there's a management plan and the approval.
But have we in Gage County, to anybody's recollection, going back however far we can remember, had any formal complaints that the zonings had to deal with related to any confinement of any AUs on any location?
As far as the county is concerned, the county's not received those. I do know producers that have received those, complaints, or the DEQ has called them up personally through a complaint process, but the county doesn't.
Do we have any record of, other than odor, comparing spreading of dry litter of poultry versus the old honey wagons that were spreading hog manure?
As far as what was the question yet, Matt?
What's the stink difference?
What's it? Big. I'm one of those that spreads. Like,
I know. That's why I ask you.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, as a producer, you try to be a good steward of the land. You're careful about, your wind direction, directional winds, where you're at, the timing of the year. Typically, research will show you that manure, when it's applied to the ground, state requires now that you have to inject a lot of that particular manure. Terry probably would attest to that because he's usually fixing the injectors on a lot of these honey wagons. But there is practices in place that producers are able to utilize now to minimize odor. But there is still an odor. There are scientific studies out there right now. I believe the university is going to be working with those MPUF studies so that zoning and county administration will have the opportunity to actually have some measurable nuisance levels, how long does it last, when it's applied. But it all has to do with the nitrogen rate and also phosphorus conversions.
Last question, then I'll quit monopolizing you. roughly 3.5 miles as a crow flies from Cortland is where this operation would be. Is there any representation from Cortland here, from the Cortland Village Board at all, that would speak later?
Yes.
What their position is. Okay. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Terry, you have a question.
Roy, realistically, most of this manure would be spread late fall, winter, early spring, probably.
That's correct, yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple question. How far are you from this operation?
I live about 2 miles from it.
All right.
We was at a producer's yesterday. My wife and I stopped by, and he had a pile outside of his barn, and we was standing right by it. And it wasn't a problem. It kind of seals up if you're familiar with silage or whatever. He said when it rains, it actually doesn't shed water. It actually soaks it in because of the sawdust content in it. And then it forms like a shell. And then he said it doesn't stink unless you scoop it, penetrate the shell with something, much like silage, which if you're not familiar with silage, it's corn. You pack it in a pile and it'll form a shell over it, and then that's what seals the contents. It maintains the feed quality and the silage type. That's what he compared it to. We was also on his yard for probably an hour visiting with him. We did not have fly issues at all standing out there. Up around the barns, yes, there were some flies. I was at the cattleman's ball a week ago, and there was flies there, too. There's flies. There's going to be flies.
Any more questions for Roy from the board? If not, thank you. At the end of the night here, we'll set a time on the 22nd when we'll have the meeting. And you're the one that I request to be back, just so that if there's, after this meeting, from the comments from the public, if there's questions that this board has, then they can have you here to answer those questions or whatever.
Okay. Thank you.
As I said before, sign-up sheet, if anybody has missed it, don't be afraid to sign up. We just passed these around. Don numbered them one through whatever, and we'll go down the list. Whoever has names are on these to speak, we will start calling those individuals. The first one has about eight names all, and everyone signed no to speak on there. Number two, Patricia Gentry from Cortland. Would you like to speak?
Okay, if we bring some chairs in right
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she's out there?
Yeah.
Verka, Jerry. Jerry, oh. Before she starts talking, some of the people want to, some of the folding chairs or whatever you can, right here in these areas, leave an alleyway there or whatever, but we could bring three or four chairs in over there and a couple, three more over here and set some more people in here.
Is there some room there?
Just a minute, we'll swear you in. Let's see if they want to bring in some more chairs. If you've got some folding chairs you'd like to bring in or something, or
I don't know if they got them all or not.
There were some out in the hallway. I know that folded up, or if they just wanted to bring them in and. Yeah, there we go. Bring them on up here and just
over on the
I thought
other
we
side.
In front of the table there and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, but you're on this side of the road.
If anybody out in the hallway would like to come in, they're more than welcome with a chair or whatever. Ready? I need to swear you in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Name and address for the record.
Patricia Gentry. I'm Cortland, Nebraska. We live on the very east side of Cortland. And most of my complaint would be the smell. We have enough cattle ranches, our cattle farmers around there that we get that. Don't want to get chicken smell here. Plus, there's people around there, too. Property values, I think, would kind of go down if that's out there, too. That's mainly. Most of mine was the smell, though. Is that it?
Can we interact with them here?
Yep, yep. Anybody?
Did you go around and look at any other operations that were currently in use?
Not recently, no.
Or in the past? I mean, something to judge off of that you're specifically afraid
years
of.
And years ago, but it's been a lot of years ago. Thank you. And 5 teams, the way they've done things throughout the years, but still, it'll attract rats, other type of vermin like that around there too. So,
thank you. David Atkins.
I might be on that list.
But that's what I asked you earlier. Way early at the thing. What do you mean? We need to open the public.
Oh, sorry.
Just a minute, yeah.
You better make a motion. And
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to open a public hearing to discuss support and or opposition regarding the special use permit for the poultry operation we've been discussing.
Second.
Okay, we had to back up here a minute before everybody starts. We have a motion to open the public hearing to hear support and opposition. That a motion from Bauman and a second from Thiemann. Vote.
Bauman.
6-0 in favor, and this is at 7-12. And I asked Dawn that, but through all the conversation earlier, she didn't hear me, so we didn't catch that either and stuff. So I thought we maybe needed to do it now.
Just a matter of record, go ahead and go back and pick up. The only two people you've had is Roy and the young lady.
Patricia
yeah.
Gentry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yes. Pick up their comments by approval of the board. Yes. If nobody has any objection. If they have an objection, we'll have to bring them back up here and we'll do it again.
I would make a motion to accept their testimony of Mr. Mulder and Ms. Gentry.
We need to include Lisa's also.
Excuse me?
That's a recommendation.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Lisa's, you already had that on the deal.
Lisa's was on there before a public hearing.
Yeah.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Hill to accept Roy Mulder's comments and Patricia Gentry's comments as part of this public hearing, even though they happened before we opened the public hearing. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Now.
Where were you at on that one, Roger?
Huh?
No.
I didn't get anything for supper. Give me a break.
It was all that brightness coming from that side of the room.
Yeah, that orange shirt. Do you sort of tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Name and address for the record.
Stephen Schutz, 5745 Northwest 14th, Lincoln, Nebraska. Members of the County Board of Commissioners, Mr. Mulder. I represent a few of the landowners living in and around the Cortland area, specifically northeast and north of this proposed facility. A little bit of what I wanted to talk about tonight, I suppose, is the reality that it's, you know, it's an exciting time to be a part of production agriculture in the state of Nebraska. Facilities like this are somewhat rare. They're showing up more and more. County boards are having to deal with it, and they're having to deal with a lot of opposition in a lot of places. Fremont, for example, they've been dealing with one for the last couple months. Things aren't going well up there, I can tell you that. That county board's having a very difficult time with it. You know, one thing that I can sympathize with Mr. Mulder about is, you know, his desire to have his children involved and have his nephew involved in the facility that's going up here in Cortland. You know, I grew up on a farm. Part of the reason I ended up in law school is because there wasn't enough room for me to be involved in production agriculture. It's a tough business to get into. Young people like myself just can't really push into the market unless you have access to something that is either innovative or, you know, your folks or your grandparents give you access to something along those lines. I wanted to talk a little bit about essentially what my understanding is that the DEQ does in situations like this and what the county board's responsibility is with respect to what the DEQ has to say. My understanding is that the DEQ sets a minimum standard for purposes of facilities of this nature, right? And then county boards after that can do whatever they think is necessary to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the county and the people that they represent, right? And to me, the DEQ does not do that simply because they don't really understand and they don't know what county board members know and what their citizens know, right? Part of...
Can I ask a question? Who do you represent?
Dave Atkins. Dave Atkins.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. I lost my train of thought.
I didn't know if you... I mean, you're an attorney representing a client.
Right, right.
Okay,
right.
You didn't say that. So.
Oh, I apologize. Well,
that's fine. You just need to do that. Okay, thank you.
He didn't say who.
Oh, at any rate, you know, I would like to, and, you know, if I'm a county board and I'm trying to make the decision as to, or an intelligent decision as to, you know, a facility of this nature, I guess I would want to know exactly one, what the DEQ has to say about this facility, right? And I believe we received correspondence of that. We didn't have that sort of correspondence prior to the meeting tonight, but it's good that the applicant provided that correspondence to you and you have an understanding as to what the DEQ's position is going to be in a situation like this. A big part of what was testified about to earlier was the manure. And I believe that Ms. Niedfeld testified, well, didn't testify, but presented to the county board that we measured the setbacks from the actual manure site that is proposed. But what I heard from the applicant is that we don't really know exactly what he is going to do with the manure. And I think that's something that should be a concern for all of us, right? If it's going to be stockpiled on the facility, and if I were a county board member, that's something that I would want to know is going to happen. That way I can figure out whether or not that's a good idea or not. But at this time, we don't really know exactly where the manure is going to be stockpiled, if it's going to be stockpiled, or whether or not it's even going to be stockpiled on that facility, right? It could be stockpiled in another field, right? And so I think we would want to know that sort of activity for purposes of being able to decide, one, is that a good place to put it? And two, is that a safe place to put it? You know, is there going to be any runoff from something like that or anything that's going to affect any of the neighboring landowners? Another...
One minute.
Sorry. Another point that wasn't really referred to was what's going to happen with the dead birds, if they're going to be incinerated on site or not. I think as a county board, you would really want to know that information for purposes of making a decision as to whether or not the setbacks line up and whether or not it's going to be a nuisance or a hazard for any of the neighboring landowners or anything like that. But back to what I was saying with the DEQ is that the county board has the authority and the ability to add additional conditions for purposes of, you know, what the DEQ would want to see in a facility like this, right? And if I were the county board, I guess I would want to see perhaps whether or not additives could be added to a manure stockpile or something like that for purposes of, you know, reducing the smell or anything of that nature, or perhaps requiring the applicant to stockpile it if he is going to stockpile it in a certain area for purposes of figuring out exactly what's best for the citizens and the people in the community.
Good. And before we ask you questions, that's something I'll direct to Roy about the dead birds. If you could comment on that later, Roy, we'll ask him to come back up at the end, and any of these comments like that, he can answer at the end or whatever. Questions from the board?
Nancy, to stay in compliance, if someone would complain, just like he had asked about the manure pile, that'd be something that we'd have the county surveyor or someone go out and measure and make sure that that is still beyond the half-mile range of a residence. Mm-hmm. So regardless of where they put that, to stay in compliance with the permit, they do have to keep that beyond that half-mile point. Wherever he does put it, it has to stay beyond the half-mile line.
But currently, we have a map that he went out and surveyed, the county surveyor, and that is from what would be the closest point of a barn to a residence, right? However, if he builds a manure facility, that would change some of these then?
He would still need to stay within the half a mile setback. Regardless, that rule, wherever the manure is either stockpiled or production storage is sited, that would have to be at least a half a mile from any residence.
So
he's got to always take that into consideration where at any time what he does.
Even if he doesn't have a facility to store it,
right.
if he just
pile,
puts it out back or whatever and piles it, it still has to maintain the setback.
So in this particular, in other cases when we've had livestock, the swine confinement units, measurements are taken from the lagoon instead of from the building site. If the lagoon is within the half, whatever setback it is, that's your measuring point. So.
If for some reason the applicant was to decide to store the manure off this site, that would be a special permit. If, in light of the question that was presented here, would that be?
I would not be able to answer that because a lot of times in animal production, manure is stockpiled and then later done. So I don't know what the DEQ's regulations are on stockpiling.
I don't know.
That I do not know. Nor do I know if there's you know, guidelines out there for that.
And I'm not implying that that's his intention, but if for some reason the applicant wanted to take the manure from this site and say, I'm going to store it over here, that's maybe a mile or two away, which the density up there makes that almost impossible. But if there was an opportunity to do that, would that...
Subject to the complaint process, so that if someone was in that perimeter, you know, and found that offensive, then that complaint process with Title 130 and filing that complaint with the Nebraska DEQ, that's the proper procedure that would take place. So,
John, you have a question?
No. No further questions?
No.
Thank you very much for your time.
Next on the list, Gene Busbum. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yep.
Name and address for the record.
Gene Busbum, 3441 South 38th Road.
Go ahead.
Took the liberty of going down to Council Masada to go get parts in Syracuse about 10 days ago, and there was a wind coming from the north, blowing south, down the road. I did see stockpile started up there already. The 10 houses are by Tecumseh, and the smell was very bad that day. The wind was blowing. I don't know if they started to pile. Didn't see no action out there, but it was up on top, A couple days later, I decided I'm going to call a friend of mine named Randy Miller. His dad and mom grew up, he grew up 5041, Highway 50 and Highway 41 corner, about a tenth of a mile, or maybe a quarter mile, that's where he grew up. Donald Miller lives there now, and farms with his dad. And so I thought, well, I'm going to call him and see if it's really bad or whatever. And he said, well, I'll tell you, it's going to stink. It smells, definitely smells. It's a nuisance. He said a lot of extra truck traffic. But he said the smell is really the thing that, and they do live a mile southeast of the site, of that 10-building site, that straight heads, and it's southeast, so the wind's coming at us. Certain times, it's real bad, and other times come southeast, we don't really smell it. But he said it can be pretty strong sometimes. And he just said if I asked him, was it worth trying to fight this or anything? He said, well, I probably would, because it is a nuisance. The second nuisance for them really is the truck traffic. And I don't know, I know there's some to the east there too, so they get an awful lot of truck traffic. But, and the truck traffic, again, start talking about roads again. We have, 38th Road. No one's really spoken too much about, is there a plan to fix this road or anything. There's probably five spots where the water ran over the road already this year. The culverts are too small. There's probably three posts in the ground where the culverts starting to wash away from underneath there already. There's going to have to be major upkeep. As soon as these semis start going on this road. I know last time we were here, I got blamed for tearing up a road with a semi. I left my semi sit on the place 6 days trying to get this one load of corn off of there. Finally, I thought it was pretty good, but the last tenth of a mile, I did sink in and but I made it, and the guy, the maintainer, wasn't too happy with me, but I did make it. I had to haul grain from my mom's place to the ethanol plant, but I thought it was good, and I just sunk in. But the road traffic, the semis are going to be, it's going to be some major, major money the township's going to have to spend. And the other thing was, I know Gary knows a little bit from pitching lessons. I've actually had pitchers cancel lessons last year. Said, we are not going to be able to make it. I'm not going down that road. And I've already sent them around 41. It came from the other way. And they said, well, thanks for nothing because this is bad going that way. So that road is just going to need a lot and lots of work. Lots of work. And the other thing is, I know you guys have already started to address this manure plan. Obviously, I grew up on a farm. We had dairy cattle. We had farrowing house. We've hauled a lot of manure in our lives. And it seems like every time we wanted to do it, well, usually we waited till it got wet. Summertime, you can't hardly even do it at all because your crops are in the field. Wintertime, it's got to be froze. It ain't always froze anymore in the wintertime. It can sit there a long time. Over the years, we've really battled that. So it's just one of those things that if it is stockpiled outside, there can still be a lot of problems with that. Just because it's hard to get rid of it sometimes. Nobody's fault. It just starts raining, and it's too muddy. If it's too muddy, you can't go in the field. If you got your crops in the field, you're not going to get it then either. So those two major things I wanted to talk about, just the roads and the smell. I mean, I've talked to people. I did talk to a person, so if you need a number of Randy's that said to verify that I talked to him, obviously I'm under oath. So.
Yeah, you're under oath. Questions for Gene? And you guys have lived in that area a long time.
Yeah.
We have visited, or at least I have. I know Terry has too, with Galen about that road. That is a township road, so that is, as all of you that live in the area know.
Yeah. There's probably five culverts in there that should be probably. I mean, they did one number of years ago, you know, and they did do a bridge this year. That looks really good, but there's still many, many problems there. You've probably driven down that road when it's muddy.
No, and there are times, and we've had discussion with weight limits and everything else, there are times when the weather conditions really affect our roads here in the county. Yeah. Well, anywhere, gravel, when you have gravel roads.
And over the years, you know, farmers, when they're on these roads with semis, they're going to do it when it's dry. They're not going to take, well, if you take a semi down a muddy road, you ain't going to go very far. I know a year ago, I guess it was a year and a half ago, some guy was going to the ethanol plant. He's watching his GPS, and they told him to, GPS said, turn here. So he turned a mile south, a mile north of Highway 41. Of course, he only made it a mile and a quarter. Got stuck by Chris Mintz. So Larry Wallman pulled him to the corner, got on the gravel road on 38th, headed back to the highway, and they had to pull him every single inch of the way. He could not go. So I'm just saying, those washouts, gravel gets spread to the washouts, and pretty soon, it's very thin. All right.
Anybody else questions? Thank you, Gene. Sydney Oberg.
I would like to speak at the end.
At the end?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bonnie Busbaum. When to speak? Oh, hold, just a minute.
You rotate, otherwise we could be here all night.
Oh, okay. Our legal counsel says we need you to talk now, the way you signed up.
If you want to talk.
Yeah, if you want to talk.
You don't have to. It's up to her.
Okay. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, name and address for the record, please.
Sydney Oberg, 3987 East Apple Road.
And just, you're to the north of where the proposed barns are then?
Mm-hmm. Okay. With my brother's breathing conditions, I'm afraid that we'll be forced out of our house. And this is the only house we've ever lived in, and it's the only place I ever know. We'd just like to have you put yourself in our position and think about what we are going through.
I didn't catch. I'm sorry. Sometimes hard of hearing. Your brother's.
He has asthma.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, hold it. Anybody else? Any questions? No.
Let her sit down, Myra.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Now, Bonnie Busbaum. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Name and address.
I'm Bonnie Busbaum, and we live at 3441 South 38 Road. We've been there 36 years, and today I'm spending our 36th anniversary here at this meeting. So, hallelujah. I want to talk tonight a little bit about several points, but my biggest point is that Roy has been able to wiggle this in within the zoning regulation setback of 0.5 mile. I'm not sure how long ago those setbacks were established at this 0.5 mile, but I doubt that it's beyond my wildest dreams that we would be talking about 150,000 chickens living 0.5 mile from us year round. And I doubt when these zoning regulations were put in place and the setback decided to be 0.5 mile, we were thinking of these large facilities. I don't know. I'm asking you. I'm asking you to think about that. I'm asking you to think about if that should be changed. Should it be a mile? Should it be three-fourths of a mile? But a half a mile is not very far. When you're talking from the, sounds like the edge of my house to the edge of his building. That doesn't include your yard, the stuff you do outdoors. It's, we're confined to our house. He can make it at a half a mile. So I ask you to think about that firstly, because I think that maybe it's time. I'm just asking if we should think about moving that farther back. Before I get too far, I want to, out of respect for your time, obviously all these people haven't signed up that are opposed to speak, but I would think a visual is always worth a thousand words. So I would like everybody opposed to stand up. So if you're in the hall and you're opposed, come in the doorway. These are people who are opposed. We've elected you people, and we respect you all very much to speak for us and to think about us. Thank you, guys. And there is a reason why it's a special use permit, because it is out of the ordinary, and that's why we want you to protect our properties. We live in a unique section of Gage County, and we understand, we want you to understand how this personally affects us. And yes, we're talking about smell. We're talking about, we've got pictures of numerous times driven by Tecumseh, and there is piles of manure out there all the time. They're not covered. They're not on cement. They're there. So maybe they seal off, maybe they don't, but the people in the area are saying it smells. So we want you to consider all the property owners, not the applicant. And just to set the record straight, I'm sure someone else will. Cortland must have moved because it's only 2 miles. It's not 3.5 miles.
Yeah, I was on the wrong section. When
good.
I was
I'm just making sure we all get it because it's 2 miles.
The crow was flying a lot further that day.
Yeah, just wanting to clear that up because I don't want to go home and be mad at him.
My point being, if there was representation from Cortland here, so that's be good to hear.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about this waste management plan, and Stefan talked about, you know, the DEQ setting minimum standards. That's what they do. They set the minimally acceptable standard. And is that what we want for this area of Gage County with all these homesteads right in the area? 63 letters went out. 20 people live within a mile. This is a big deal, and it's very close, and it's going to be a smell, and it's going to affect our property values. There's people, we know it'll probably be a lovely looking facility. It's all going to be brand new. It's not how it looks, but people see that. They aren't going to stick around and see how bad it smells. They know it smells. Gene and I went to Colorado a couple weekends ago. We're coming back and we're like, honestly, what is that? About a mile later, a chicken farm right along the highway, interstate. We're going 80 miles an hour. Windows up, air conditioning on. It smells. So, yes, we've been there. We've seen them. We know. I'm getting too emotional. Sorry. And I know that you have the discretion to approve this, but we're asking you to disapprove it. We're asking for zoning changes. We're asking you to think about these things. We're asking you to think about population, property values, road conditions. And Myron ought to know, I've called him before, our road condition is a serious issue. And we respect that the money has to be spread out. But this little tidbit of .025 equates to less than a load of rock a year. So I don't know how we're going to do that without spending.
1 minute.
Good. We talk about the opportunities for our children. And it's interesting because right at this time, we're trying to get our son involved in farming as well. And, you know, Ryan's plan would be that he plans to live where we live someday. He's going to be at Grandma's for a while, which is great. But is he going to want to live there? Is he going to want to raise a family there? And heaven forbid he's going to sell that someday. I doubt it. Do you want to make improvements on something that isn't maybe going to be worth too much because nobody's going to want to live there? And I myself, you know, like I said, the road is a big issue, but I think there's many issues to think about. And I ask you to take all of those that I've spoke about into account and think seriously about this because it is a big deal. It's a big deal to all of us. That'll do it.
And I've got a question for Lisa. When did our zoning regulations, what year?
1999 is when we went into temporary zoning, but we adopted 2002, and then we revisited again within our regulations in 2005 on livestock setbacks.
So 11 years ago. It's 2016.
Okay.
She's got the math down.
Just want, you know, I just think it's worth
Well,
bringing
up. I'll make a quick comment on that. We found out going through our when we amended our wind farm regulations, too, that our county has the density in the northern end has increased greatly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you drive around, you're aware of that.
Yeah.
And there are some things that this board has is fully aware of the fact that maybe these zoning regulations don't fit the whole
yeah.
area of the county. And we understand that greatly. That's why we did do all the work to amend the zoning regulations for the wind farm. We've had a little bit of discussion, not enough to plan on going forward with changing these, but that is part of what going through this process we look at also is, yeah, there's areas of the county that some of these don't fit near as good as the other areas.
You know, the increased tax revenue, you I'm sure licking your chops at for the barns going in, is it going to do more harm than good? I mean, we could decrease way more and limit people from moving in the area that could decrease taxes as much or more than this will bring in. I mean, do we know? No, this is all hypothetical, but it's definitely worth thinking about, people.
Questions?
I have a question for Lisa. When was Gage County designated livestock friendly? Was that 2012 or 2013?
12.
2012. Any opportunities that we would have to jeopardize that based on refusal of?
I mean, the livestock friendly was an incentive to try to get corporations or investors, you know, as they are doing their initial studies, and that's why we participated. But that does not override any of the current regulations that a county has in place.
But there's not an opportunity that we could lose that designation by denying and be okay.
No. They still give full capability to counties.
And Bonnie, we try to walk a real tight line there.
Yep.
With the wind farms, we basically knocked out any potential development there in the northern part of the county completely.
Mm-hmm.
This is always a tough line, trying to keep property owners happy, who are the acreage owners, as well as the producers. I've thought about this a lot. I'm an acreage owner.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a facility put outside of me, and I was fully aware of that, where if it happens, it happens. A lot of people move from, you're a different situation, but a lot of people are moving from Lancaster or the urban areas,
mm-hmm.
and we can't let the implants trump the property
no,
owner's
and we
rights
would,
either, so we have to really be careful of that.
We would never ask you to, but we've been there 36 years. We're half a mile away. There's at least 8 people within a half to three-fourths of a mile away. They've been there 15 years. They didn't just, like, show up.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not asking you to make a decision based on what may happen. I'm asking you to keep that in your mind.
And I guess, to get off the wind farm, my opinion is we haven't totally eliminated the wind farm industry in Gage County and even the northern half.
We've protected people from those towers falling on people.
We set a distance.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this is a special use permit.
Yes, for sorry. This.
You're getting yep. way yep. off track here.
Yep,
yes.
We are.
Sorry.
We're back on track.
Am I done?
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Separate you two.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Warren Beckman. You swear to tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Name and address for the record.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Warren, could you give your
name? My name is...
Go ahead, sorry.
My name is Warren L. Beckman. I live at 1903 DeVoe Drive, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68506. I own and operate a farm at 7655 Apple Road. It's at the corner of Apple Road and 34B. It's right across from Mr. Dorn's farm. Okay, what I got to say about this, first of all, my list is of the manure. To the west of me, a half a mile of fence that I share with the chicken farm from Firth. I get a dose of manure every 3 years. I've got the best-looking waterways in northern Gage County. You got grass that's that tall because of the chicken manure that has washed down there. To the south of me, it's another chicken operation that owns a farm. They haul the manure up from Adams and put it on that farm. Now the farm to the north of me that the Dorn family owns, and Mr. Moeller owns the other half that he's going to dump manure on. So whatever direction that the wind is blowing from, I got a good chance of getting manure once every 3 years from these guys. Now, when he mentioned taxes, I thought it sounded to me like he was getting quite a break. On that 120 acres that I own there across from you folks, my taxes last year was $5,319. In 16, this year, they will be $6,114, an increase of $794. When he talked about this tax money in schools, I think the damage to the roads, whether they be state, county, or township roads, it's sure going to eat up that $27,000 or $28,000 he was talking about that would be all for this in the schools. I really question that. I don't know that I'm right on that, but I do question it. When you talk about the roads, I do know just a little about damage to roads. I drove over the road for 40 years. I drove professionally for 4.5 million miles. I know what the damage can be done. The first time in the spring when a truck turns off on that township road and falls through to the housing on that tractor, somebody's going to say, hey, when are you going to fix these roads? That road there, I've been down it. If you're going to run that kind of traffic on it, to me, you're almost going to have to go in there right now and build a road. You haven't got a bottom in that road there, I don't think, at all. So when we talk about tax dollars, it's going to take a lot to put this into there. Now, with the manure, my son lives about 8 miles north of the big amount of houses over by Beatrice, or of Tecumseh. They, like I said, he's 8 miles. He's east of Cook. He said, all I have to do is walk out in the morning with a south wind, he says, and he said, it smells. That's the same outfit that he's hooking up with. It's the broilers and what have you. I can't believe for a minute that this chicken house isn't going to have an odor problem. the roads are going to be used, and this is not the last six. I got a feeling that there's going to be applications for another 25 in this area. My feeling is, if you look in the south, and I've traveled the countryside, upside one side and down the other.
Warren, one.
You look in the south of
1 minute. You have 1 minute left.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You look at the south. They have got chicken houses that have, the foundations are left. They've been run out of that country. They can't no place to go with the manure anymore. Okay, that is about really all I got to say. The flies are the only other thing I will quickly comment on. About 3 years ago, when they spread manure west of me, the flies were so bad I had bells and horses. I didn't think I was going to be able to contain them in a fence. When the flies swarm that bad, you have got a problem. And don't anybody try and convince me this evening that when they spread manure that you're not going to have a fly problem. Okay? Okay? I do thank you kindly for your time.
We'll see if anybody has any questions for you.
Thank you.
The only question I have, how far did you say your son lives?
I'm so hard of hearing.
How far does your son live from the Tecumseh houses?
About 8 miles.
8 miles.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, he lives to the north of them, so he gets the wind. The south wind will bring that smell up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer Oberg.
I have a question. You know, we keep talking about 38th Road, and so I'll look at Nancy. Was the township notified regarding the commercial property proposed here with the special use permit and the potential effect on the road and the conditions? Do we have any notification and or approval or in support or against from the township related to the potential traffic on the road?
The only notification would be Roy's on the township board.
There's no requirement. There's no requirement.
There's no requirement. I understand that.
No, I know there's no requirement, but we've spoken about that before, whether it be a house wanted to go on a minimum maintenance road that's been a cattle path for 20 years, whether it's been a commercial industry coming on a road, because it changes that traffic pattern, and I think there's some validity in the conversation about the continued destruction of less than 20-foot bridges that aren't on the state and culverts and things like that. I didn't know if there was any discussion. I know we haven't formalized that process, but I know we've talked about it at our annual township meetings of, you know, don't just approve a permit that gets dropped in the middle of a minimum maintenance road, and then everything's got to be brought up. But I just didn't know if there'd been any. No.
Jennifer. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Jennifer Oberg, 3987 East Apple Road. And before I forget, I can cover that question about the township. We contacted both Jim Price and Mike Klein, and they said they had no conversation about the road. Okay, I'm up here mainly tonight because of my great concern on the harmful health effects that this large poultry farm could have on our 12-year-old son. Connor has suffered with asthma his whole life. He's even been hospitalized in the past for it. I believe you guys received a letter from me, I hope you got it, stating from his doctor that it could be detrimental to his health. We live directly just a little bit northeast, like 3/4 of a mile northeast. So as everybody knows, the south winds, everything is going to be blowing to my house. His doctor is very concerned just because the dust, the dander, and the ammonia. He's already on 3 different kinds of medications, and I have them here if you'd like to see them. My question is at the last planning and zoning meeting, Mr. Mulder made a comment that he has asthma and it doesn't affect him. So I obviously should have nothing to be worried about. I thought that was a very ignorant comment. He's an adult and this is a child. My concern, or my question for you, is if he gets sick, who is going to cover his medical bills? Who is going to cover his hospital bills? Is it going to be Roy, or is it going to be the county? I would like to have that answer tonight. I have some information here. I don't mean to get all emotional, but I have stuff here of studies. I don't know if I have copies. These are just stuff that I found that people who have asthma, when they're living close to these poultry farms.
These two different ones?
Those are two different ones.
Okay.
You know, there's a lady on here that said that she moved to the country, to a rural area, thinking that the fresh country air would help her asthma. She lives less than a mile away, which is us. She says the odor from the chicken houses have made her sicker. She said, it's sad, it's killing me, I'm going to have to move. It's sheer hell most of the days. There's also, on the second page, the rest of the stuff is more like just stuff about the toxic and hazard emissions that it'll, you know, you're talking 4-foot fans through these buildings are going to be pushing all that dust out. The second page is an elderly guy. He's 70. He says that he wanted to live the rest of his life in a place where he can breathe. You know, he's lived there his whole life, but he doesn't think he's going to be able to stay where he's at. You know, that is my greatest concern. We've been in our house for 16 years. It's the only house my kids know. Having a facility like this does not fit in our area. We are so highly populated. We have 20 houses in 1 mile. All that stuff is going to be blown up north. We decided to take
trip to Tecumseh a Saturday. Talked to a couple people down there. And I have to be honest, Saturday, it didn't smell that bad. But what the people were telling us, we came on the wrong day. They said, you needed to come here after a rain. Because we saw, too, we saw stockpiles of manure. One of the people that we talked to said, there's dead birds in those piles, too. That's what they do. They throw the dead birds out there. So how are we supposed to make sure that we're not going to be getting diseases and stuff out of that, too, if they're throwing their dead birds in those stockpiles? One of the ladies that I talked to lives northwest. She's west a half a mile and three-quarters of a mile north, which, I mean, she's off northwest. So she doesn't get the brunt of it. But she said there are times where she has her family over and she cannot be outside. It will burn your throat. She told me, she goes, honey, I wish I could bottle up some of that smell and send it with you. The other thing she wanted to tell me, too, she goes, she has to put fly strips up, especially in her attic. She says she stores her Christmas decorations and stuff up there. She goes, when I go up in my attic, she goes, it's just crazy. She goes, there's so many flies.
1 minute.
Okay. The next person we talked to, her daughter has asthma, and there's been times where she's had asthma attacks before she even gets to the house. She lives directly east, and that's basically where I'm going to be at. Her daughter comes to only visits her like twice a year, and she'll call her mom to see how bad it is. Her husband that has passed away has always kept a mask in his truck because he couldn't handle the smell. At times it was so bad he would wear a mask. So please consider that. The other thing I wanted to bring up real quick is we have a petition here. These are not just acreage owners. These are farmers. I have every single farmer. I'm missing one farmer in 1 mile, and he just texted me, and I have it on my phone, saying he would sign it for me, but we ran out of time because I was already here. So it's not just us picky little acreage owners and people in town. I have every single person in 1 mile that signed this. We have 224 people within 3 miles that signed this petition. And we didn't have very long to get this together. This is how angry the area is. It does not fit where he's proposing this. Tecumseh, there is no houses north of those facilities. We went and we drove almost 3 miles before we saw houses. There's so many houses north of where he wants to put this.
Do you have that?
Oh, you can have it.
No, to submit or not, or are you keeping that? Or
I guess. No, I want you to look at these. I want you to look and see how many farmers are on here.
That's been submitted.
Oh, that one was voided because he moved the facility. See, this is the thing. We started a petition. We had to start all over again because he moved it.
This one's different?
This one is different.
If you could leave it with Dawn so that we can make copies for all the board members to have then.
And I'm out of time.
You're out of the 5 minutes, yes.
Yeah. Can I go over one more thing, please? Okay, I just want to bring up real quick, and this wasn't even supposed to be my part, but somebody, I just kind of took it on. I have to mention, we're not supposed to compare the poultry farm by Firth because it's supposed to be a completely different facility. However, Mr. Mulder, when he was up here at the planning and zoning meeting, was comparing property values and how they were all selling for around $250,000. However, he wasn't saying what they could have been selling for if they weren't next to a poultry farm. I have proof here. You can each have one of these. Some of these houses, the first one is sold. I'm not going to say any names or anything like that.
No, you submitted this, and I let you go over the 5 minutes already before Roger gets after me.
Okay, but I want you to take a close look at it and see. They're being
sold.
We'll
make sure everybody gets a copy of that and stuff.
And taken a loss.
And I'm not picking on you, but... We do have a time limit.
Thank you.
Is there hold it. Stay up here a minute. Is there questions for you?
Just a comment. As a healthcare provider and as a person who suffers from asthma as well, I would concur that sometimes asthma and how that afflicts people can be self-limiting. As a child, though, I did suffer quite a little bit, and the allergens and what would trigger that can be pretty detrimental. As I'm older now, fortunately, it's less.
See, it's different for an adult than it is a child.
So I can appreciate the fact of the youth, and I'll just say as a statement, some of the most beautiful animals in the world are horses, and I can't be within a quarter mile of them. But I can appreciate that.
Different for everybody.
Yep.
It is different for everybody. Thank you.
Golden Home.
Anybody else questions for Jennifer? Thank you.
Myron, if I could just comment on the on the petition. Yes, the commission and Nancy did receive a copy of the of a petition, which all of our board members saw, and that petition was based on the first proposed site 12. And so at the time of our commission's meeting, we asked them to if to present it based upon 6, and that's what you're seeing tonight. So
these are all within a 3-mile radius. However, there was one lady by Tecumseh who wanted to sign it because she said that she really invites all of you to go have lunch with her someday, and she goes, you're not going to leave her house until you finish your lunch outside.
is she a good cook?
Yeah.
Chicken. I don't know either.
Christy
Gersing. Okay. Thank you.
I don't write well.
No.
How do
I
you spell your last name?
Yeah, how do you spell it?
It's CristiGersing.
Okay.
And I'm Christy Gersing.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
I'm Christy Gersing. I live at 725 Washington in Cortland. And I wanted to come today because my kids are grown. They're away. Okay? It's just myself living in Cortland. But as far as the air quality, things like that, I appreciate what Jen has to say about her son having asthma. I am also an emergency room nurse. I see these kids that come in, and they can't breathe. These kids, their lungs get so tight, you can't. And I am not kidding. That's exactly what these kids sound like when they come in here. Those kids have to get something. We got to get them oxygen. You got to give them epi. You got to do different things for them. I'm also on the rescue squad at Cortland. So I'm going to go after these kids that need this help that they have. I've got a couple things documented here just as far as manure goes and things like that, things that are contaminated in the dust. They have MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, that is in the manure from the chicken poultry farms. And I get this from occurrences of livestock-associated MRSA from Free, Schultz, and Zimmerman et al., that it's detected 50 to 150 meters away from the barns, this MRSA. It's not contained inside that shed. The contaminants that are in the dust are E. coli, Staphylococcus, Pseudomonas, Micrococcus, Coccidilla oocytes that come in. These things can be transferred. They can be gone through the air. I have seen the piles of manure out. I used to work at a feed yard, Southwest Kansas. We had tons of them around. We had Monfort. We had IBP. We have Tyson. We had all these around. I have seen piles of manure sitting around, and dust comes through and blows them, and they blow everywhere. This is dry litter. It will go in the wind. As far as flies go, I looked up from the Animal Production and Health Division, Food and Ag Organization from the United Nations, and they say in the article that I looked up, flies within a half a mile had 83 times, houses within half a mile had 83 times the amount of flies of those that didn't. So you take your worst fly day anywhere you've got, and you times that times 83. That's a lot of flies. And I don't think DEET that you're going to buy in Walmart's going to handle that. So I think that it is going to be a nuisance. I think it's going to be a nuisance for a lot of people around in the county, not just the ones that are in that half-mile radius. I mean, it's going to go out. You've heard it. We have a lot of people that come to Norris School for athletics. They're going to drive right through Cortland, and they're going to say, what the hell? It stinks. I mean, and I really don't want that to happen. And I think not only do we need to protect property values in Cortland and in northern Gage County, because anybody come from Lancaster, what's it going to be? Gage County stinks. That's what they're going to say when they come right across that line. They also, in the chicken manure that have, again, from the United Nations article they found, there's arsenic, copper, and zinc in the manure. Those are heavy metals that can cause a lot of damage, too, if they do get in the runoff. You know, if he doesn't house it under something on a concrete where it's going to keep it out of the groundwater, that can ruin every well. And there's a lot of wells out there. Heavy metal poisoning is very detrimental to your neurological system. It is very, in wildlife, I mean, I could go on for a long time. And again, I see some of these people that come in with some of these things. That article also talks about the rats that come with poultry farms, the mosquitoes that come in, bring cholera, dysentery, and malaria. The ammonia that gets in the groundwater, the ammonia and nitrates, they can go 500 meters in the air away from it. even though, you know, they may say they can control it, can still go that far. I'm looking at kind of a medical standpoint, those kids coming in with asthma that they need the help. 30 minutes is a long way away to definitive care from Cortland, or 30 minutes to St. Ease, to Bryan, to get those kids in there. Yeah, we can meet ALS, we can meet an ambulance, we can fly those kids out of there. But like Jen said, who's going to fit the $5,000 bill for StarCare to come get them if they get there in time, if the family calls us in time? Okay. So in my last minute here, I want to know why we want to introduce this risk to our community. Why do we want to bring in more disease if we don't have to? Now, will his chickens have disease? I don't know. They may be perfectly healthy. They may come through and pass every vet inspection in the world. But if they don't, and you get one bird with avian flu that comes in, that gets thrown into these manure piles, and it starts going, and it starts flying, and everybody gets sick, I mean, who wants the responsibility for it? I don't. Then you've got your volunteers that come out on squads. They have to pick these people up. Again, they can be contaminated. There's different things that go on. So the infection risk in the barns that I've heard also multiplies with the amount of birds that you have, the amount of barns that you have. It increases when the winter and the springs come with the rains that come through. How about maintenance after the years? They say that's a big thing with the birds. It's maintenance of the sheds. They get to be rusting. They get things that aren't going to work correctly. Who's going to fix all those? And then they go on. So I don't really want to protect our real estate, the people around it, the kids that are around. Bus booms have kids out to their house all the time for ball, sports, that kind of thing. It's all affected. Any questions? I know I talk a lot and fast.
Thank you. Next, Jeff Oberg. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Jeff Oberg, 3987 East Apple Road, Cortland, Nebraska. My wife touched on so much that I actually talked about speaking about tonight. There's 20 families within a mile of this proposed facility. They're all going to be negatively impacted as far as I'm concerned. Our son, with his health issues, the asthma, the lower property values, just the impact on quality of life to be able to go outside and enjoy our places. And I just got to say, reading on Gage County's website, planning and zoning requirements, according to Article 6 of the Gage County planning and zoning requirements, which address the special use permit, it reads, no special use permit shall be granted if it does not meet the specified guidelines. Number 3 of those requirements is not to be detrimental to adjacent property. I do feel like it will be detrimental to us and may be to other people. Number 4, not tend to depreciate the value.
Be specific when you address that.
I believe with my son's health condition, okay, it could be detrimental.
Again, I'm not picking it. I'm just saying it helps the board when they have specifics. Anybody can say it's affecting my property.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Okay, thank you.
Number 4, not tend to depreciate the value of surrounding structures or property. And I think my wife has passed on some information to you, you know, as far as that goes. And I think it's pretty obvious. If there's 20 of us within a mile, there's going to be devalued properties because of this, because of the odors, because, you know, people are going to see the buildings. And like Bonnie said, they know they're going to smell. And number 6, not to change the character of the district. I just don't feel like it meets these requirements. And the reason why I say the character of the district is where we're at, as you know, because of the wind turbines and everything else. We are heavily populated on northern Gage County. The corridor between Cortland and Firth is a lot of acreages and a lot of farms mixed in together. I just don't feel that the future of Gage County mixing in facilities like this really fits in high populated areas. I also want to say, you know, I as well went down to Tecumseh. I as well seen the manure stockpiled outside. I have talked to somebody in the DEQ in the past about this. Wanted some information on what Roy was talking about doing with his place. So I asked him. I said, you know, what about the runoff and everything? And the person I spoke with the DEQ, supposedly was the same person I spoke with Roy, said there will not be any runoff. It is 100% contained. And in the past, Roy said he may put it in a 40 by 60 building. He's also said he may put it on his own property. He may pile it on the side of the roads. We just want to know, is it going to be stockpiled in the back? Or you know, is the wind going to be blowing across it? Will it be in a building? We've heard so many different conflicting stories with this. We just want an answer. And now tonight, I'm informed that he doesn't even have to keep it in the building. And that's not what I heard from the DEQ. Now, that may have changed at some point, but it's not what I heard.
Who'd you talk to at DEQ?
You know, I cannot reference his name at this point. I don't remember who it was.
I mean, level-wise?
All I know is I believe he was an inspector that came out there. I talked to him about Tecumseh and that manure not being covered up, and he said it is. I believe he called it a hoop building, a plastic dome that goes over the top of it. We spoke about that, and he said that's fine as long as it's underneath there. Well, we talked to one of the neighbors the other day. He said there was a hoop building that went over the top of it. The wind blew it away. They put it back up. The wind blew it away, and now it's gone. So everything's exposed outside. So, and as far as is the plan, the only plan that I have seen for this facility is this.
1 minute. Okay.
Which shows six buildings with the distances to our properties. We've talked about a 40 by 60 building. We haven't talked about it to store this manure. It's not on this plan. So if this is part of the building permit, I don't feel like it's complete for this facility.
I'll agree with you. It's not on this drawing that we have that our surveyor. Just because this is the current, I'll just say this, the current, there's stakes out there in the cornfield where the corners of these buildings are at, correct? And that was where he took the measurements from. And at the time when they were out there, there was not a manure building or a waste building
being proposed,
indicated or part of this. So, but however, I believe Lisa said that that proposed, or if that happens or not, that still will need to meet all of the requirements, because that, if that is a new part of, or an added on part here of this drawing or whatever, now the measurements come from the new.
The measurements will be taken from the manure site. So,
manure site,
whether it's a compost pile, whether it's a building, or if it's on directly on the south side, those measurements will be taken from the nearest point of manure production.
And that still will have to meet the setbacks.
I didn't know if this is the information submitted for the building permit.
No, that came from our county surveyor.
Okay. And that, because I haven't seen any building permit, you know, the buildings, anything to scale, where things are being placed, or if this is it.
Oh.
I don't think there is any information. I mean, when I built my building, I had to have measurements from the center of the road and all the adjacent properties, which this has, but it was to scale drawings, and I had to explain what exactly I was doing. And I've heard mention of the 40 by 60. Everything just keeps changing. So I just want to know, is the manure going to be in a building, or is there a 40 by 60 building here? I mean, everything's changing. We just want to make sure that we're not just doing this on the fly.
That's some questions that maybe Roy can answer later, or this board can present to him too and have him give us more information on that.
Okay.
Any other questions for Jeff?
Jeff.
Oh.
Just with you talking about that building, would that put you at ease if that was going to be stored inside the manure instead of being stored in the stockpile personally?
I think it has to be an absolute requirement. In my mind, that it has to be in there. I mean, with my son's asthma, if that dust is it's coming, the wind will be coming from the south in the summertime. Unless we are going to seal our house shut, that dust will make it up into our house. And I'm afraid of the effects that it's going to have. So I don't know. That doesn't really solve all my problems, but, you know, I think it must be a requirement.
Anybody else? Thank you. Oh, we have a request for a 5-minute, 10-minute break here. But, yeah, and it wasn't even me. This time, usually at our board meetings, it comes from me. So we will take, it's 8:11 on the clock. I know everybody will visit a lot, but let's try and get back in here so we can get going again. We will take a 10-minute break. You back?
Yeah.
Yep, you ready?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Is it real?
It's 8:22 on the clock, and we'll reconvene the public hearing. Last one was Jeff Oberg, so Stefan...
Already spoke?
Okay. Oh, yeah, early on. Thank you. Joanne Verpka. Oh, sorry, I was one line off. Ray Verpka.
You got her going now.
Sure. Well, I think it might be Joan Verpka.
Yeah. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I'll cut it short because Jen, she went a little overboard there. We live on 8066 East Apple Road, and we own the 40 acres right to the northwest of the proposed site on the same section. And we bought that in 1990 so our kids would have some place to live in the country because they were raised in the country. And we put it to alfalfa. It was a good cash crop and worked out good until Connor came along and couldn't take the alfalfa. So there's some things I know people won't understand. It's some things more important than money. So we had to discontinue the alfalfa. And, you know, the other day I was outside and I could smell that hog farm clear from on Highway 41. But you know what? You think about it, you know, that doesn't really bother you. They were there first. This is different. These people were here first. This is no place to put a chicken farm like that. I don't call it a chicken farm. I call it a chicken factory. But that's all.
Any questions for Ray?
I told you I'd cut it short.
Next, Sharon Mulder. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
I just wanted to say when I...
Name and address.
Sharon Mulder, 6005 East Gage Road, Firth. When I married Roy, I was a city girl, and then I moved out to the farm. And I say the farm because, to me, the farm and country is one and one the same. And being out on the farm, there are cattle, there are horses, there are pigs, there's chickens. There are everything associated with the farm. So I've gotten accustomed to that, and it's part of life for me. And I would never want to go back to the city because I enjoy being outdoors, being able to experience what the farm and the country life is all about. There is smells out on the farm. I can go by cattle farms, there's chicken farms, there's hog refineries, refinements. There is smells everywhere, and there is dust with horses, there's dust with cattle, there's dust with your lawnmowers, the way it is dry as it is. So, I mean, there is just those things that are everywhere. I would just like to, say or ask, is those petitions, is that something public information that we'd be able to get a copy of those?
Once it's been introduced and given to a public hearing, it becomes a matter of public information.
Okay. Would I be able
to give Dawn time to, if you request a copy, to make a copy of it and give it to you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Would I be able to ask if those petitions, if people went door to door, in Cortland, out on the farm, or if they had them set at businesses throughout Cortland that people were, that would be customers of their businesses that would just be able to stop in and sign those. I mean, I'd like to know how those were, the petitions were signed.
Again, that's not anything that we would have that information. I mean, you can ask that as a question for the group to analyze, and I don't, whoever produced those for Dawn, we could ask those individuals.
Okay. One last thing I'd like to say is I wish people would, Roy and I are not bad people, and I wish people would not see us as such. We are just somebody that's just you and me, that we're just people that live out on the farm trying to make a living, and we have different ideas and dreams like everybody does. And I feel that we're not being treated equally because of that. And like I said, I just wish everybody would give us a chance, and I think that we would do a great job with it.
Thank you. Any questions? Sharon? No. Thank you. David Whiting. Whiting?
Thank you.
Okay.
That's okay.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, so help me God. I'm Dave. Yes. Sir? Go ahead. Sorry, I had to turn my hearing aid up. I'm Dave Whiting, 1992, after the Gulf War, graduated from the University of Nebraska, and I moved to Tecumseh to be a deputy sheriff. I was 9572, and shortly after that, I was 957. I was appointed sheriff, and I know chickens, okay, broilers, all that. I lived down in the bottoms between the loading, unloading, and sale barn. Never did smell the sale barn. And as far as complaints, I got them. As 957, I got them. Do you throw them to the DEQ? No. That leads me to about a month ago, I was your district, I worked for the district health department, and I was your emergency response coordinator as well as your environmental programs manager. Took care of a lot of your dumped oil, a lot of that stuff. We took care of it. And I also worked a lot with the DEQ, Nebraska Department of Agriculture, and I wrote plans and I managed plans, plans for the worst day of our lives. I wrote your Ebola plan, okay, that you probably haven't seen yet. You can talk to your emergency manager, okay. There are things, lots of plans. You have emergency response plan for tornadoes and floods. Do they always work? You all know the answer to that, no. You can write a plan, water's still going to run, dust is going to blow. I was a microbiologist after I was a deputy. It's what I kind of went to school to do up at Pfizer before they downsized us. So I have a lot of microbiology background. And what Ms. Grusing said about dust, let me tell you about the dust comes off of chicken manure and everything else. Bacteria and virus love to attach to dust. Dust is terrible. This dust a lot. When I was writing plans, there's one plan we fear, and we fear a lot, and that's MRSA. It's airborne. That is something. Zika, don't worry about that. Unless you, yeah, I'm on record. Don't worry about Zika. Okay? I know what happens. Okay? You don't want that dust. Okay? Part of me wishes that it was liquid, because you could at least control it better. All right? Complaints? How many people here have nitrate problems? And I went to school to be an ag teacher, okay? And I sold ag chemicals and had an Angus herd till what happened to me in the war made me move to Cortland. All right? So I'm not down on agriculture, and I understand our biggest problem is high nitrates. All right? We all agree on that, yeah? Outside of urea, what's carrying the most nitrogen outside of urea and anhydrous? We know it's chicken manure. You want that sitting up there? Our town man has taken a water sample up, and it's up for the best tasting, highest quality water in the nation. All right? Now, I'm not a tree hugger. I'm not a granola person. All right? Wife might be, but I'm not. Don't you want to tell her that either. All right. So that's a problem. That's a real problem. And when it comes to complaints about nitrates, as you all know, as the aquifer flows, you can't blame anybody. So if our nitrate levels go up, we got no one to blame. Another thing, economics, as it pertains to this. In 2 days, the Gage County Housing Summit. Okay, Gage County Housing Summit, June 15th in Beatrice. From Engage, economic development. Now, we've all had economic geography in college, and we know what a four-lane highway does for us a lot. All right? We invested, $50,000 into something? That's very good. Study provides guidance. The completed study provides the county guidance in both the development and preservation of housing in each of the communities. That is off the website. What's our plan?
1 minute.
1 minute. All right. With that, we all voted to resurface and do a Christ Lutheran Road. It needed it, good deal. We don't need to punish this road in 38th Street where Mr. Buzzboom lives. Please, I've driven heavy stuff. I don't know. I don't think there's a bottom there like the other gentleman. Lincoln is moving south, okay? The Norris, everything, they're eating everything. Everyone is moving, okay? Why don't we start having those people build those monster houses and gather equity off of that? Generate money. Okay? They're building a hydrogen plant in Hallam. Where do we want them to live? We want them to live this side of the gauge line. Good people that'll spend money, come to Beatrice, spend money, and pay good taxes. Some of that bad ground that nobody wants to farm, they'll put a big house there.
Dave.
With that, on the end, I'm not against ag and no money is here. Most of the lineage of the people sitting behind me all either are, were, or come from farmers. But I'm telling you, this is a bad idea in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I've got a question for you. You said you worked with the state. What? Or
I worked for Jane.
Public Health Solutions.
Public Health Solutions.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. And I left a month ago. I write disaster plans now. Any questions?
Thank you. Well, the next one I have is Roy Mulder, but you signed in to speak and you talked already. Catherine Peterson, or Kathy Peterson? You'll pass. Okay. Andy Carruthers. And Andy was here. I know he wants
to
speak.
He's coming in. Yep.
Okay. And before Andy talks, he's the last one that had signed up early on here originally. I know somebody during the break approached me, and they would like to talk now. If there's anybody else would like to talk, please come up and sign our sign-in sheet. We will allow anybody to that hasn't talked already to come up and sign in, and they'll be able to talk here pretty soon and stuff. So, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. My name is Andy K. Carruthers. I'm an attorney here in Beatrice, Nebraska, P.O. Box 218. I'm the village attorney for the village of Cortland. I want to thank Chairman Dorn and the members of the Board of Supervisors for providing us with this opportunity to speak before you. At last Wednesday night's regularly scheduled meeting of the Village Board of Trustees of Cortland, they voted unanimously to oppose the proposed poultry project that is approximately 2 miles east of Cortland. Now, as you're probably well aware, the Village of Cortland has a 1 mile extraterritorial zoning jurisdiction, so this facility did not come under our purview. It is within the 3 miles that your regulations recognize. I do want to thank the county for for recognizing to publish the notice in the Voice News. As most of you guys, people know, you get north of Adams, and hardly anybody takes the Beatrice Daily Sun. That's a good point. I'd like to bring up a point with regard to your regulations as far as notice to political subdivision. Your section 6.2 says this, notice of the purpose, time, and place of a hearing shall be given in writing to the chairperson of the county board or the planning commission, which has jurisdiction over land within 3 miles of the property affected by this action, and absence of a planning commission, notice shall be given to the clerks of units of local government having jurisdiction over land within 3 miles of the property affected by this action. I realize that that is geared towards adjoining counties that may have an impact. I'm going to suggest to you that it's more important to provide those cities and villages with notice as well, because you have a concentrated group of people. And so I would suggest that you seriously look at 6.2 and include municipalities within that provision to do that. I think many of the concerns of the village board are what you've heard at already. I'm not going to stand up and tell you that I'm a scientist and I understand manure. But I understand manure stinks. Okay. My dad's side of the family is originally from Broken Bow, Nebraska. I was born there. I spend a considerable amount of time there because my mom still has a farm out there. If you're familiar with Broken Bow, they have Adams Land and Cattle Company, which has a feed yard east of Broken Bow and one south. I think the one south is probably larger than any other feed yard. And this probably isn't a fair comparison to Mr. Mulder, but I'm going to bring it up to you anyway. Some people in Broken Bow joke that very lightly that smell is the smell of money. But you don't say that too loudly in Broken Bow because of the people affected by that smell. And if the wind blows right, Broken Bow does not smell good. Now, obviously, we've got concerns in Cortland about that problem. You've got a facility that's 2 miles away. I don't think that we have adequately addressed the situation of how that excess manure is going to be stored, because we know that there are times when that's not going to be able to be land applied. So he's got to do something with it. And I can tell you, you know, you can argue with people about, you know, which smells worse, cattle manure, hog manure, chicken manure, because of the ammonia content of chicken manure, it's not pleasant. And so I think it's vitally important to listen to the people that have been here and testified as to their observations of similar facilities and how you're going to do that, because I don't think those questions have been adequately answered. And I recognize you're in a tough position. You need to make a decision, but I wouldn't make a decision until that question is answered to your satisfaction. Now, obviously, the village of Cortland also has a concern because of what's going to happen to East Apple Road that's within our corporate limits. That's going to have an impact on ours. I don't need to tell anybody on this board what it costs to resurface a road. You guys know. That's your business day in and day out, county roads. You know, it's unrealistic to think that they're going to use 41 and come up a dirt road. They're going to use the path of least resistance, right? And what are they going to do? They're going to come down a four-lane highway. They're going to turn on East Apple Road, go out to 38th Road, and then they're going to go down because that's the easiest route. And so you really kind of have to look at what the impact is going to be on the village of Cortland as far as that road. And, you know, one of the village board members at the last meeting basically said this, and I truly believe this, it's a quality of life issue. And your zoning regulations recognize that it is a quality of life issue. But I want to say one thing. The board member basically said, I just didn't look at Cortland. I looked at what's surrounding Cortland, right? Because that has a quality, that has an impact on the quality of life. Now, I recognize one thing, is that we've got a four-lane highway. Cortland is poised to take on some of these facilities, just like that. But so we're probably going to be coming back and readdressing some of these issues with the County Board of Supervisors, because we could have four or five facilities around us in not amount of time, and I don't think that's fair to Cortland. Now, I will tell you this. We have taken a look, because we've gone through the same process you guys have gone through with the Planning Commission and the Village Board of Trustees on special use permits. And we've had two hearings on businesses that have come into our community. And one of the questions we always ask is, what is the detrimental impact upon the community and the surrounding community? And I think that's one of the questions you need to ask.
I apologize. I didn't let you know when it was 1 minute.
I heard.
Yeah, you heard.
And, you know, well, no, for an attorney, it's probably good that you limit me to 5 minutes.
Well, so. And I can't believe the used car salesman talked a lot shorter than you did.
I think anybody will tell you that I can be verbose at times.
Yeah.
So with that, I'll answer any questions.
Go ahead.
As a village, is there any way to increase the zoning radius, I guess?
Statutorily, villages and second-class cities are limited to 1 mile.
So that's where that's set at.
Mm-hmm. We'd have to go to the legislature to change that. We would. You know, first-class cities and metropolitan and primary-class cities have 2 mile extraterritorials. And I can't tell you why that the difference is there.
Because you're probably right. This is going to be something that comes up again in this northern part of the county with potential development of different things.
I was looking at your zoning regulations preparing for this meeting, and the one thing that dawned on me is, you know, there's not a limit on the concentration of these facilities in one particular area. And that scares me because, as I've indicated, you look at Cortland and there's a four-lane highway, there's a paved road going east, there's a paved road going west. What does that tell you? That those are prime locations for these type of facilities. And, you know, again, probably not a fair analogy to Mr. Mulder's operation to bring Adams Land and Cattle Company in, but if you're ever out there in Broken Bow after it's rained or on a day when the wind is out of the east or the south, it's not pleasant to be in Broken Bow. And I just implore you guys to consider those considerations when you're looking at this, because this may be the tip of the iceberg.
Just briefly about what the commission looked at when in writing the regs and that you approved was that we have a density issue in terms of the density set in A1, A2, A3, where it allows 4 homesteads per quarter section. So that was added into our regulations. But knowing that we did chat about some of the bigger, like Cortland, Adams, and based upon the population and try to set your population and your setbacks greater. But then, as Andy said, you know, state statutes didn't allow us to do that. The other thing is we took into consideration in the regulations when they were written was that the larger you get, obviously the bigger setback that you have. So it limits the availability of where you can put those concentrated units. Yes. So we felt like those things might assist us depending upon the size of it with a greater setback.
And I know the zoning board and this board, we haven't had a lot of discussion about this just at a couple of our meetings, but we realized that in the last so many years, there's been a increase in population in the northern part of our county. And when the original zoning regulations were adopted, I'll just say there wasn't quite the density at that time. And
but I will suggest that your zoning regulations recognize the Highway 77 corridor as far as acreage is. And if you look at Mr. Mulder's proposal, he's 2 miles off the corridor, you know. And so your actual zoning regulations, you know, embrace subdivisions within that corridor. And so, you know, is it a good location for that? I'm going to suggest that it's not.
One of the things with the P&Z folks have to do is the balancing.
Absolutely.
You know, the farmers that have to make a living and have opportunities to use their land. And, again, the balancing is when urban starts encroaching. I think that's what the board will do.
And you know, it's a cost-benefit analysis as well. I mean, you know, when we're looking at businesses that want to locate in Cortland, we have to look at that as to whether, you know, what's the cost to the community to locate this and what's the benefit. And so I look at it from a vantage point that, yeah, we all want to embrace economic development, don't we? Because that keeps us viable, that keeps us thriving. But at what cost are we going to embrace that? And that's the question before this body right now is, you know, at what cost are we going to embrace that, and what impact are on local residents and local communities are we going to allow for that to come in? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy. We one last opportunity for anybody else to sign in if they'd like to speak. Otherwise, we do have one more, Dave Adkins. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I think my primary concern is with the facility is the size of the. I mean, you're talking about a lot of steel on the roofs of these buildings, 500 and some feet by 43 feet. So you're going to have a lot of water running off of each of these buildings. I mean, equate it to a parking lot in a town or a city somewhere. And we were looking at that, and that's primarily going to run through my place. And there's already a lot of runoff from that property directly to my west as it is. So now you're going to put all these metal roofs up there and concentrate all this water into one area as opposed to having it spread out over, you know, 80 acres or whatever the case is and having it run more slowly through there. But as a matter of fact, with all those roofs on there, it's going to really, really put a lot of water through my place. And, you know, some of the stuff that's on the other side of the fence has washed over onto my side of the fence, and that was with just a 3-inch rain in the fall of last year. So with all these roofs and the gully washers that we've been getting, you know, in the spring primarily, but now they're starting to happen more in the fall. I mean, we're just looking at a whole lot more runoff for one thing. The other thing, I don't know exactly how much land, you know, each of these guys owns along East Apple Road or whatever the case is, but my understanding is that there's going to be a lot of chicken manure on East Apple Road on both sides of the road all the way over to Firth. So that's something else to be considered is if we want that main corridor to smell like a chicken. Also, with the county assessor things that Jen handed out, I just wanted to kind of point out, you know, or have you guys look specifically, it's the ones that she just handed out here when she was up here about land valuations and whatever. And if you look at them closely, you'll see that the assessed value on the three pages, the assessed value is a lot higher than what they were selling for. And, you know, that to me, and even the valuations or the amount that they have sold for, let me put it that way, even that has dropped on each of these that are in the very same area that he was using for property value comparisons. So I just wanted to point that out.
Any questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And I believe we did have one more sign up to speak. Carrie Price, is that right? You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Name Hi. And address.
Carrie Price, 2018 South 25th, Cortland. I'm directly 1 mile east from the proposed farm, so straight across the field. I share their concern with their son. I have a 4-year-old grandson who is at my house continuously, who has asthma. So now we're talking about a smaller child even. You know, one who doesn't even realize he's probably having the issues until it's too late. So I'm definitely sharing your concern. We watch him all the time, so I don't know what we'll do with him. I also have a mother-in-law who I'm power of attorney for, who's at my house a lot, who has congestive heart failure, who also has emphysema. So she has a lot of lung issues, loves to spend time outside. I look at both of them, and I wonder, you know, what is their quality of life going to be? How can I, as a grandparent, as a power of attorney, as the daughter-in-law, as a person that is responsible for these two people and that takes care of these people a lot, you know, what is their quality of life going to be visiting me, and can they visit me? My daughter, at some point, she will probably take over my property. We look at that as my husband and I get older. You know, is her son going to be able to visit her? Is he going to be able to live there, depending on when that happens? My husband right now is having health issues. We've even joked about her possibly, depending on what's going on with him, having to move in sooner. That could put that 4-year-old in that house within the next year. So, and that's an unknown, but it could happen. We have 3 acres. We do have, you know, so we have our own chickens. We've got a few turkeys. We have just a few for our own personal use. It's nothing major. It's nothing, you know, obviously huge. We worry about them. You know, the mosquitoes, the flies. What's going to happen to our animals? You know, the increased rats, the increased mice, the increased flies. You know, I don't know the studies. I don't know what the percentages are. I just know it happens. You're in the country. You get mice in your house. It happens. We all get it. We all know that. Do we want to see it more? Do we want to see it continue? No, we don't. You know, I've been in my house 22 years. So I'm not just somebody who's encroaching the neighborhood. I'm somebody who's been there a long time. And by the way, the plat book is wrong. It's not Brian O'Connor. That's my grandson who is 10. I don't know why. But
property owner at a young age.
I'm telling you. It's... We've been there a long time, and I look around, and I know quite a few of these people who've been there a long time. We're not encroaching. We've been there. My house was established many years before I moved there. So these are properties that aren't just coming in. Most of the houses around me have been there a long time. So we're looking at the quality of life of people who have lived there, who have been there, and who are continuing to live there. We're not leaving the county. You know, my son is a police officer here in Beatrice, so we look at, you know, our families are staying close. They're doing what they can. I look at what happens, as he said, you know, when people are starting to move towards Cortland, as they're starting to move this way, we're seeing it more and more. We're seeing those big houses coming up. We're seeing them getting closer to Cortland. We're seeing them coming our direction. That is a lot of money, folks. That is a lot of tax money. It increases all of our property taxes. Granted, don't want to pay any more in property taxes, but at the same time, you think about what our schools are going to gain, what our county is going to gain. These are things that we need. And to have something like this come into this type of neighborhood where there is such a huge population right now, look right over the line in Lancaster County, right over the line on 56th Street, or I guess it is 38th Street. They have the one pond, and they have that huge housing area right there. That's the type of stuff that's going in. Those are the types of things that we're going to be seeing in Gage County, in northern Gage County, probably very soon. Something like this coming in is going to jeopardize all that. So I hope you look at those kinds of things. You look at the families who have small children who are definitely, I feel, going to be affected, who have considerations that they have to keep in mind for this. And also, you know, our pets, our animals, just our day of life. You know, I drive 30 miles to and from work every day. I chose to do that because I love Gage County, because I love it here. I love the outdoors. I love being able to walk outside, have the freedom of, you know, fewer sounds and fresh air and all that. And I worry that all that is in jeopardy, and the reason that I love being where I'm at now is going to be gone. So, that's it.
Any questions for Kerry? Thank you. That was the last one we had signed up to speak. At this time, I would ask Roy to come back up if he would like to address some of those, or if the board has any questions for him after all the comments. So.
I need to swear in again, or?
Please continue to be under oath. Please follow.
Continue to be under oath.
I heard several times about dust concerns. I heard about traffic concerns. And then I heard everybody wants to build houses out there. Well, be careful what you wish for, because I own 240 acres out there. If I got 5 acres per house, that'd be 48 houses times 3 people. That coming and going, that'd be 144 cars a day. Are your roads ready for that? And the dust and everything else?
Call it people. Go ahead, Roy.
So that's my comment about that. So, you know, if we want to build houses, I've been down that road. I was one of the first subdivision permits issued in this county. And I built a subdivision over towards Adams that was pretty successful, so I've been down that road before. Mr. Busboom talking about his pitching school, I wonder if that's zoned correctly for that, a business like that, and is that the additional traffic, you know, that's on 38th? Is that why the road's losing its condition or what? I mean, these people are bringing up stuff that's, to me, as far as the manure, I'll just sell it. Then I won't have to worry about it. I'll make it someone else's problem. I'll load it on a truck, and it'll leave. Then I won't have to worry about stockpiling.
And again, not to suggest anything, but I think maybe that would go a long way towards addressing the concerns out here with some of these folks. You got the smell, and there's whether or not, I mean, we can all find stuff on the Internet, and I think we want to address it so that people can continue to develop their land that is out there with you. If, and again, not speaking for the board, but if you got anything more concrete that you could kind of give to the board about the manure thing, because that just seems to be like the short fuse that's got everybody kind of.
Well, I said at the beginning I had three options. So if I use one of the options is to sell it, I'll sell it. It's a commodity. I've had calls, people want it already. So it's a commodity. I'll sell it. It'll be out of here. I'll use commercial fertilizer. Then they can smell my anhydrous machine when I go by. But, I mean, if that fixes the problem, then that's what we'll do. I don't think in a lot of these comparisons we're apples to apples. I think we're looking at the pulled houses, or houses east of Firth, 700,000 chickens. I'm talking 150,000. The concerns they have about dust and everything like that, I farm right across the road from those houses. I'm out there day and night, whatever time. When the wind's out of the south, when the wind's out of the north, whatever. I don't think we're comparing apples to apples when we're talking about what I propose to build.
Anybody have any questions?
One of the questions that had come up, just taking the notes, and we wanted to ask Roy, is,
yes.
Roy, will you explain to the board what your intentions to do with the bird disposals? Any birds that you have that you lose, will you be composting them, incinerating, or what your intent is?
The gentleman we visited last night, he composts his own at his site. I would probably, nothing's concrete, I would entertain, and so is Prairie Land Dairy, entertaining the idea of composting them for me. They've got a huge compost business going there. They are composting stuff. I picked up peanuts from them and I fed them to my cattle. They have truckloads of stuff. I had truckloads of Skittles. I fed them to my cattle. They throw them in their compost pile. I know Skittles and dead chickens are two different, way different things, but they are taking food waste from Lincoln and running it in their compost pile. They blend it with manure, bag it, sell it, or sell it truckload. So that would be the main thing that I entertain because of their proximity to me.
That's all just from the notes that we
had that,
from people, too.
I had that down, too, to ask that. Thought I had one. Anybody else? John?
Well, and I guess just one thing that I would like to see is a definitive answer on the manure disposal, you know, that's going to be followed and the bird disposal, you know, so that we can go forward with this.
I think I just answered the bird disposal.
Well,
right? Are you satisfied with that?
And that was a possibility, what I heard, you know.
Okay.
You know, if it's a definite thing, why, we can do that, but.
And I'll sell the manure, then it's somebody else's.
Would that take an amended application to have that in writing? We wouldn't have to go through the whole process.
You can place conditions, just as our board
could
place conditions
condition.
Upon approval of a permit. So, but Roger would be able to.
I think so much of this is about coexistence, and I know where we are, a livestock-friendly county, but there is a density of population up there that does affect a lot of different things. And, you know, ag producers, as far as property owners being disproportionately taxed in the state, that's a fact. And here's an opportunity to create some revenue. But there's a lot of neighbors close, and it sounds like there wasn't a whole lot of opposition to the live birds, but it's the excrement or litter that they make, and if there's a way to deal with that, the idea of having something inside, a big pole shed with a, I don't know what you put on the floor, that sounds like an opportunity. And then there's another revenue source to sell the litter. That sounds like a pretty good idea.
I'll sell it when we take it out of the buildings. I've got people, I've got names at home that want it. And then I'll load it on there, and I won't have to deal with it.
Eric, you got a question?
Yeah. Lisa, when you were going through stuff, was there anything that said this percentage? Did you look at the actual odor, where it came from? Did it come from the buildings and fans? Did it come from the stockpiles of manure? Was there any data on that?
As far as research on the dry litter itself, not specific dry litter, only through the experience of the people that we visited with, was that once it gets wet, you know, especially no matter where you apply it, when it gets wet, the litter gets wet, if it's on the field or if there's a pile, it's going to have some odor, but more when it's piled and stockpiled than it is when it's applied to the ground. So
the odor wasn't the issue coming out of the building through the ventilation. It was from the...
You have to keep in mind that under this type of production system is every 5 weeks. You know, the feed ratio on a chicken it takes is pounds per feed is 2 to 1. Am I right, Gary? You're in the livestock, but it's 2 pounds of feed per pound of gain. And so when you extrude the waste in that, that gives you a good math, you know, to know how much waste one bird's going to have. But going back to the breakdown of nitrogen, when it gets wet, it breaks down faster, and so with that comes the odor. So.
Yes. I was trying to think. I thought I had something else. No, I had that one too. Anybody else? Any questions for Roy? Not from the public, I'm sorry, from the board. That's just the way the public hearing's handled. I wish we could, but that's not part of that. That's this board. If you have some questions, contact some of the board members or something and visit with some of them or something, and I will offer that out there and stuff, and we'll see how we can get an answer or handle that or whatever and stuff. So,
and Myra, one thing too is that just I asked the board to take into consideration is that 7 years ago we changed the minimum lot requirement because of the request and the cost of land from 10 acres down to 3 acres to help people invest into their, you know, their homes and so forth. And so now we're starting to see, you know, that there's less protection for everyone involved since we dropped those minimum lot requirements from 10 down to 3. So if you had another 7 acres to work with, whether it was a landowner or a livestock producer or other, you would have, you know, it's 34,000 square feet per... it'd be another 304,000 square feet, another 7 acres would give to offer that protection as we look at zoning. So
it's a buffer, yeah.
It's perhaps something that the zoning board, you know, may have to go back and reanalyze too, in that especially applicable. And we've always been directed to that you can't do some things in one county and not be doing something different in another side of the county.
Part of our benefit or not benefit with Gage County is the makeup of our county,
right?
And the zoning regulations and how do we take all of that into effect? And we fully realize that and are trying to work with that, but there are things that this board will have to probably start visiting and visiting with the zoning board and see if, as we go forward, our zoning regulations, what really benefit or work best for the county. And that's this is one of those things where you find out, good or bad, you find out what your zoning regulations actually, how they work and or don't work in some situations. And this is one of them. But, John, you got a comment?
And my thought is probably that acreage requirement doesn't need to change, but that's my own thought at this time. But I do have a question for you, Lisa or Nancy. Maybe one of you know this. I was through Golden Pond today, and was Golden Pond developed after Sunnyside was built?
I do not know.
I kind of gathered from one person that that was the case, that it did get developed after Sunnyside was built. But I will verify that more as to what...
Golden Pond is the development just in the Lancaster County. They're right. Just north of that.
Right.
Just from my recollection, there were some houses there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm not 100% sure on this. I know some of the people out here will know. But some of those are good. I don't know how many. Some of those did... come in there after, I believe, the first couple buildings were built and stuff. But,
And that's, you know, I only saw one individual in their yard that I stopped and talked to you, but that was basically their recollection. That was, there was just a couple of houses over there in that development, and the rest of them were built after the Sunnyside was in place.
After they added on some buildings there, and I don't know how many or whatever.
There's five now, it looked like.
There's five now, yeah. But I think originally, I don't remember if there was two or three. I know some people will sure remember and stuff, but they've added some on. So, any more questions for Roy? Eric?
Well, I just wondered, what did that individual you talked to there say, or did they make any comments, John?
They were kind of more to the straight west of it, and they didn't have a lot of issues, but I think, yeah, I don't think that's universally shared, probably.
As far as poultry facilities, and that one there is like a mile and a half out of Firth, would you agree?
Basically, yes.
Yeah. There's another poultry facility like I am asking about that is right south of Waverly. Waverly and Agnew, 148th Street or Pine. And Agnew Road, if you go east there a little bit and you look north, there's a guy that's got chicken barns in there.
This is at 148th and Agnew?
Yes. And Waverly is building south towards his chicken barns. They built a new high school. They're building houses. The interstate, kind of a divide there. But I guess I don't talk to anybody in Waverly, but that's what I see. And you don't drive down 148th Street and go, holy cow, what was that? And his chicken houses are over the hill. You can't see them from 148th. But if you go down Agnew Road to east, then you see them.
Do you know how he handles the manure?
Not for sure, no.
It would be a good example to look at, though.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you.
No, I know. Just a quick comment, though. Like I said, our next board meeting is on June 22nd. That's our record. It's an 8:45 morning meeting. That's when it's scheduled. We will have it on the agenda for discussion and approval or disapproval. However, that's not 100% saying that we will approve it that day. This board could have questions for Roy yet, or we could want to put to consider,
yeah.
Or we could put some, I guess I call it, things on the permit. But that's when we will have the discussion on that, and we will, like I said, we'll have it on the agenda for approval or disapproval, discussion and approval, disapproval. We will schedule that, if it works, at 9:30. That people, if they want to come, they can for that. However, Roy will be here and will be part of that 9:30 discussion because this board could or should, probably will have questions for him. If the public would like to comment again, we early in our meeting, when we open our meeting, we always have a public comment period. That's when the public or everybody else would need to come and comment. And you don't have to comment on the chicken farms. You can come comment on anything. So that's what the public comment period is there for. But when we have the discussion on the chicken farm permit here or whatever, that's limited to this board asking questions and commenting and stuff. So.
And all road complaints go to Mr. Supervisor Juergens over there.
Juergens over there.
Thank you.
Gary? The public comment segment, we can't ask questions.
And during the public comment segment of that meeting, we're this board, or not this board, it's part of the public comment, we are not allowed to, I guess, respond to you and ask questions or make decisions during the public comment period. One other thing I'd just like to say, We know that there's a lot of interest, but we really thank everybody for showing up. We thank Roy for coming, his wife for coming. We thank everybody else for coming and being here tonight to voice your opinions. That's part of why Gage County has zoning, is that there is a process. I know I've talked to people before about this. There is a process, and that's what we are going through for a permit like this or any time these situations arise in the county. Andy and other people have made good comments about maybe we need to review or look at part of those. We realize that doesn't always happen real quick, but we also do realize and we do have discussion about when issues arise that because of situations over a number of years, they affect it different than what maybe it was originally started out to design with or whatever. So we do take those comments. We do take everybody's comments very seriously. We appreciate everybody showing up. I know everybody had to take time out of their schedule to be here, but we thank you. So
thank you.
We have one more issue we need to do here yet is we need a motion to go out of public hearing. And this time,
so moved.
Motion by Bauman and second by Lytle. Vote. 6-0 to close public hearing at 9:12. Thank you.
9:12.
Meeting adjourned.